Master Coder.
I'll cut my own throat first.
Bravely spoken, Tovarich. If I had a son, I would wish that he showed such bravery in adversity. But I had thought of that. A sick man will watch over you as tenderly as an apple-cheeked babushka. When the trap is sprung, I will have the tiger flayed alive and hang its skin upon my wall. And you may watch, Master Coder.
Go fuck a dead rat, shitface.
But the Russian was already out the door, and the insult was wasted. The tiger was less than a quarter of a mile away from his hunter, squatting with Kate in a low-roofed concrete hut that had once provided primitive shelter for the workers when blasting was taking place. It had no door, and the snow was already filling the rectangular opening. On their way to the hiding place, they'd overheard the sick man's alarm. Ryan guessed, from some of the yelling, that Semyonian might have finally figured out who Dean was, and that Ryan was there to spring him. Ryan had his arms about the young woman, trying to minimize the extent that they were exposed to the elements.
We going to try and hide up again in the mines?
No. The rescue figure we're going to free the boy. But we're not. We're going to free everyone else.
Ryan moved quickly from hut to hut, repeating the same performance. Kate stood by the door, holding her own blaster, while the one-eyed man tugged everyone awake. He talked fast and hard, not giving anyone a chance to even think about what he was saying, intent on simply pressuring them out of their huts. The mass escape of most of his workers would cause Semyonian some serious problems. He'd have to send his segment out into the storm to herd them all back again, which would mean fewer guards watching over Dean. Semyonian had only just returned to his own rooms, intending to have a hot shower and a change of clothes, when the sec boss knocked and brought him the unwelcome news.
All?
Almost all. Not the workers already on the night shift, Major Commissar.
But you are informing me that one man has released everyone?
Semyonian had stripped off to the waist. His muscles stood out like bars across his shoulders as he fought to prevent himself from ripping the messenger's face off his skull.
Where were the...
He was almost choking in rage, and he couldn't go on.
The sentries? They were mostly around here, those not in the shafts. You said they were to guard the boy and...
Yes, I had ordered this. Guard the son of Ryan Calder, I said. He will raise a revolution among the workers, I think. They cannot hope to live in this weather out in the... No, rebellion. Put extra men on the armory, and send all that can be spared to hunt down these ragged fools as quickly as possible, before they can become organized.
What about the boy, Major Commissar?
Two guards in the room. Watch for the child seeking to harm himself. And two more, no, make that four more outside. I will come myself as soon as my ablutions are completed.
The man saluted and left the room, pausing in the narrow corridor to wipe the beads of sweat that were streaming over his forehead and cheeks. In less than an hour, most of the escapees had been recaptured and returned to their huts. One or two had been shot by frustrated and frozen guards, and one sec man had put a bullet through the throat of one of his comrades, mistaking the looming shape in the whiteout conditions. But there were still at least 50 of them somewhere out in the blackness. Semyonian was in a vicious mood. The disturbance was worse than he'd hoped, with sec men rushing around like headless gophers. There was a temptation to simply let the fleeing slave workers go, in the certain knowledge that most would be dead within 24 hours. To have to send off hunting parties through the gateway to replenish the labor force by 50 or more was also going to be time-consuming. And where was Ryan Cotter? If he'd managed to lead the 50 absentees to a good hiding place, they could represent a serious threat to the security of the whole mining complex. The Russian stalked around the admin compound, resisting the urge to go out himself into the valley beyond and try to hunt down the one-eyed man. The other nagging worry was of Cotter going into the tunnels with these missing 50 and perhaps linking up with the trackies. Semyonian glanced up at the sky. The wind seemed to be easing a little, veering to a more westerly direction. It meant that the shape of the bowl of mountains that gripped the river in the valley gave more protection from the blizzard, and the snow was easing. Dean had the comfort of feeling his beloved turquoise-hilted knife still hidden in the small of his back. If the Russian had left him with only one guard, the boy would have tried to butcher him. But with the two poker-faced Sekhmen standing on either side of the locked door, each holding his carbine ready for action, the chances were down to zero. The bruising was still appearing, but Dean kept trying to move, flexing and tensing muscles beneath the blankets, doing everything he could to stay ready for the moment. He didn't know what Ryan would do, when he'd do it, or how he'd do it, but he felt a diamond certainty in his heart that his father would try. Ryan stopped in mid-stride, hand going to his forehead.
What?
I just got a sort of flash of Christy and the others. Kind of a scene like she gets.
What was it? What'd you see?
Ryan shook his head.
There were flames, blood, and thick black smoke. The smoke came down like a heavy curtain, and I couldn't see no more. I mean, anymore. Nothing.
So what does that mean, Ryan?
I don't know. Fire blast. It was kind of bad, but it could...
He looked at her, puzzled.
It might mean nothing at all. Let's go get my boy. That'll mean something.
It was pitch dark, with the sec lights glinting off the hard white ground. Shadows were knife-edged, and the air was so cold that Ryan and Kate had to keep holding their breath as they moved to avoid betraying themselves. Guards scampered by, heads down against the wind, ignoring the two figures that lurked in the darkness. There was no problem identifying the building where Dean was being held. A quartet of Sekhmen huddled together by the main door, nervously looking around them. A tiny ruby light glowed as they passed around a cigarette. Ryan considered the chances of taking them all out with a silenced P-226. The range from where he and the young woman were hiding was less than 50 yards, and the light wasn't bad. But the men all wore dark clothes, only the silver uniform circles glittering against the coats. It was hard to identify individual targets with any certainty. He could definitely send them all off on the last train to the coast, but not without short odds on one of them being able to yell a warning to the rest of the camp.
Most of these buildings got a side or a rear door?
We could circle behind the power plant.
He hesitated. One of the guards had moved apart from the others to stub out the cigarette in a flurry of orange sparks. For a second or two, all four made separate targets, but the moment passed.
Let's try it.
Behind them, in the lee of the tallest of the surrounding mountains, was the huddled bulk of a massive building. Its windows were long broken, doors ripped off hinges.
What's that?
Think it's where all the old machines for the mines are kept, from before Skydark. Cody went in there once, said it was a death trap of rusting platforms and rotting ladders.
Ryan stared at it, a plan half forming in his mind. Dean had got into the bed, using the blankets as cover to draw his slim knife, readying himself for whatever might happen.
What happened to that?
It could be the one-eyed bastard the Ruski warned us all about.
Another stone hit the window. The taller of the Sekhmen flattened himself against the wall and sidled around till he could squint into the darkness.
It's a woman.
What?
Young slut. Think I know her. Got black hair and tiny tits. Standing there like she wants some help from us.
The other man moved to join him.
I'll fucking give her some help.
He grabbed at his groin, in case his friend hadn't understood him.
Yeah, you and me both.
He looked behind, pointing a warning finger at Dean.
Stay there.
He eased the window up a few inches, biting air pushing its way into the room.
Oh, could be a trick.
Rusty didn't say shit about any woman. She just ran like the others, and now she's gotten cold feet and wants in.
More than her feet are cold, I'll bet.
I'll warm her. Hey, you come here.
Ryan erupted from the blackness like an avenging angel of bloody death, grabbing at the man's lank hair, holding him steady for the fraction of a second it took to slit through the pulsing carotid artery at the side of his throat. He heaved at him with all his strength, so that the dying man slid unresistingly out of the open window. The other guard stared in total disbelief, his rifle held in slack fingers. He was standing by the window, his legs apart, back to Dean. Ryan had expected the other Sekhmen, who he'd been watching through the window, to come to see what happened, or to move to the door. Either way, Ryan was ready to take him. He hadn't planned on the guard standing stricken, rooted to the spot, out of the line of fire for a clean shot at him.
How did...
The guard's mind had slipped into clinical shock. The blow from behind tipped him into the abyss of dark madness.